Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. And of course, this is a special segment of our show, a guest segment. It's my pleasure to welcome Nancy Noel, artist and philanthropist based in Zionsville, Indiana. So welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you, Zara. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Nancy is an American contemporary realist artist and philanthropist, and she started her career modestly by drawing pastel portraits for children for around $10 and also teaching art lessons from her home in Indianapolis in the community of Broad Ripple. And I know this for a fact because I was one of her early charges back in the late 1960s. Nancy's commissioned paintings now command over $50,000 with a two-year waiting list, and her works are in private collections around the world from very prominent individuals as well as art connoisseurs of every variety. Upon graduation from college, Nancy actually opened a gallery to promote the work of artists from around the country as well as her own, and in 1977 decided to devote herself instead to painting full-time. Her repertoire spans over 200 limited and open edition prints, six books, and commission work to commemorate and stimulate interest in such things as national affairs, philanthropic and international advocacy endeavors, particularly on behalf of children, animals, and endangered tribes of people in Africa. In 2005, Nancy purchased and restored an 1854 Victorian church in the village of Zionsville, Indiana, a perfect backdrop for her work and referred to now as the Sanctuary, the Art of N.A. Noel. It's the only place one can find a complete collection of her work. So I know we're catching you today actually at home, not too far from your studio. So thanks a lot, Nancy, for your time today.
Oh, it's nice to be with you, Zara.
You bet. Well, I thought we'd just start off with that ever-waking question, particularly for someone like you who's continues to do so many different things. Nancy, talk to us about why you do what you do and what's the philosophy behind all these variety of places that you now personally touch.
Well, first of all, I think that I've come to realize, it took me a long time to realize that I was really doing anything for anyone. Mm-hmm. And I was in Africa about 15 years ago, and I was really questioning what I was doing with my life. And I started to go back and read, when I came back from Africa, I started to go back and read emails that people had sent me saying how much I had changed their life and how much I had inspired them with the images that I painted. Mm-hmm. And each email said, thank you for your gift. And I actually didn't realize that I was giving anybody anything until, but you know what I have found is that the greatest gift that I have is not giving, but what I get from other people.
Yeah.
The giving is important to me, and I would say that this is probably the basis for my philosophy now. I have become far more spiritual, and I'm sure you've heard that before. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And,
yes.
And I would say my spirituality has had a whole lot to do with my growth and what I do and what I do for people. I know that the more I do and the more I give, the more I receive. So it's just real simple as far as my philosophy is concerned now.
And of course, that's an actually right on target hook with what this show is all about in terms of us wanting to help one another during these change-rich times, whether that be professionally or for personally. I have a wonderful bio, of course, in front of me that your staff sent me, Nancy, and the one quote they started out with was that my desire to paint is clearly and simply an outgrowth of my need to communicate. And talk to us about that, this idea that you are communicating to others visually.
Well, I think when I was young, I was very dyslexic, or I am very dyslexic, and I couldn't communicate very well. Everyone else was doing very well academically. I was not. And so I started to become withdrawn, and I realized that when I painted and so forth, the people were not only paying attention to me, but it was getting me out of myself.
Your art then became the mechanism for you to communicate.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, it was the only way that I could communicate. Now what happens is when I look at my artwork, I don't understand why I paint and draw and the images that I do. What I realize now is that they reflect back to me what I'm thinking, and they also can predict the future for me, but as I paint, I have no idea why I'm painting what I'm painting. Mm. And when the painting is finished, I go, oh, my God, that's what I was thinking. And when I know that that's what I was thinking, it's when I feel peacefulness in the interpretation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, in fact, I've had many artists that often say that really 50% of the painting is what they do, and the other 50% is what people give back when they comment on their works.
Well, that's true. With mine, I really understand. I can look at a painting and know that if I'm sad or if I'm in fear. And I did a painting just recently called Letting Go. And I can remember there were two people in my life that I felt very close to. And for some strange reason, the relationships dissolved almost at the exact same time. And I found myself obsessing about the fact that it was possibly my fault. I couldn't understand what I had done to these people. Sure. I thought I had been very good to them and so on. And when I came to my own peacefulness inside with the fact that I had done everything in that relationship that I felt that it was right and loving for those people, and that it was ridiculous for me to obsess over why they chose not to be in my life, and I let it go, I literally felt physically something just passed through me. And it was actually right around that time that I started painting Letting Go. However, I didn't associate the two at the time. And when I did the painting then, I thought, sure, this is exactly what I did. I let go of the fear of not having, I guess, these people in my life. Since one of them has come back and, you know, said that they felt that was just a terrible misunderstanding. But a lot of times people have their own agenda. It doesn't have anything to do with you at all.
Isn't that true, kind of
what I'm talking about. When I look at my paintings, then I can see very strongly what is happening inside of me. And then I also know that this is something that's many times universal. So when people look at my paintings, they go, oh, my God, that same thing happened to me. And I recalled it when I saw your painting, and I was able to let go of whatever they were holding on to.
You also said that it predicts the future. So you said some of your topics and your images have indeed then brought things to you then as time played forward?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. And probably the thing that is probably the most mysterious about my work is that many people were telling me that I was painting their children prior to, in other words, I painted a portrait of their child and then their child passed away, or they found my painting and their child had passed away many years prior. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
In other words, there was no real correlation between the time I painted the painting. There was no correlation at the time between the two things. So, but people will bring pictures of their children to me and go, that's my child that you painted. When did you paint that? So I'll tell them when I painted it, and it has really sometimes nothing to do with when their child actually passed away, but it looks exactly like they're painting. I mean, their child.
Yes.
And
Nancy, when you were saying that your trip to Africa, I think this might be an interesting time also to insert for our listeners' benefit, is not just obviously your commitment, your work to your painting and this beautiful business you've built over the years, but that during one of those trips to Africa, you were photographing children in an impoverished school, right? And how that has now brought a whole nother window into your life.
Yes. And I'll tell you how I came about that school. I was looking for children to paint. One of the fishermen in the village took me to a little tiny hut, and in this hut were about 60 children, and they were all singing and very happy and so on. And I was just really taken by these kids. And when I left, the matron came up to me and said, you know, because you're the first visitor to our school, we're going to name the school after you.
Oh, my.
And so I thought to myself, I must have been wearing a T-shirt that said, you know, if you name your school after me, I will support you forever.
That's right.
That was about, I want to say, 10, 11 years ago, yeah. And we went from 60 kids, and now we're 250 kids. About half of them are orphans, and I supply doctor care, and we have a big three-classroom building now. However, that building needs to be replaced. We have playground and playground equipment, it's all fenced and so forth. So we feed the kids, and we're going from a half a day program to a full day program.
Isn't that lovely? And this is in Kenya, correct?
It's in Kenya.
Yeah.
Kids are wonderful.
Well, your reference of children, too. I know that children are often the subject of your paintings, as well as a lot with animals, and then also angels. So the angels that have come into your life, talk to that.
My horse died a little over 10 years ago, and it was a horse that I had for 30 years. I started painting angels after that, and I wanted to make his life and death, I think, count for something. And I wrote a children's book called All God's Creatures Go to Heaven. Actually, I didn't write it. I had an idea of which I passed off to another girl. She then wrote it, brought it back to me. I edited it and so forth. And it was really to establish that I felt that all animals had souls and they needed to be respected. And we always wound up in the afterlife with our friends, whether they were with family or friends or animals or whatever. They were all souls, and we were all very important to each other. So what happened was that once I published this book, a company called Reading is Fun found the book and bought 75,000 copies. Yeah, they found the book in New York, and at the time, I really needed not only that sale of that book. What I found is that anytime that I would celebrate my angels or my horse or whatever, it would always come back to gift me somehow. And this book, because of its success, has really gifted me. The paintings were there were children taking care of animals once they got to heaven. It was kind of this little story about a little angel that went to heaven and then started taking care of animals. What I found was that people, I thought it was, the book was going to be purchased by people who lost animals, and it ended up being that most purchases were from people who had lost children.
Children, yes.
And so what I did was I found that what I had done there was it was a gift to people, and got so many cards, so many letters on how much this book had done for people. So that really started my whole publishing and my whole angel series.
Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. And you've gone on to do now 6 books, right, that are featuring your work. And even in the mix, I understand you've done one that's a cookbook entitled
cookbook.
Joy and
yeah.
Simplicity, so that
yeah,
broader holistic life side, too.
Well, I'm very much into organics, have been for a long time, learned about genetically altered foods when I was in Africa, learned about insecticides and really what was happening in our country while I was in Africa. Because when you're in Africa, people have a totally different perspective of the United States. And so they were more forthcoming in how they felt about some of the things the United States was doing with food and so on. I don't know if you've seen the film called Food, Inc.
Yes,
or not.
Yes.
But I was very passionate about letting people know what berries and so forth contained the most insecticides, what genetically altered food was, what sweeteners actually did to you, what kind of sweeteners were safe and what weren't. And then I had recipes that were very creative. I would give kind of a base recipe and give possibilities, and then people could do whatever they wanted with recipes. These were all tried and true recipes that I had used for years that people had always said to me, hey, can I have that recipe?
So that's great. So you, again, the Nancy Noel, by the way, for those who've just joined us, I'm having a wonderful conversation. Nancy's an artist, a philanthropist, author, whole variety of things. Nancy, take us now to the sanctuary. As I said in the opening, the fact that you took a leap and bought a Victorian church, and within what sounds like a relatively stressful but short amount of time, was up and running as your place for your art.
Yeah, it was really incredible. I felt that we had a little warehouse where we did shipping and so forth, and we'd stayed there for a number of years, and people would come in and they would see some of my artwork in the warehouse, and they would, you know, ooh and ah over the artwork. And I kind of thought to myself one day, you know what, I think I need to leave this place and do one of two things. Either take it home and do nothing but commission work, or I need to go out there in a much bigger way and put all my things under one roof. And our lease was coming up. That was another thing, is that I felt that in the place that I was, I was throwing my money away. So I really needed to make better business decisions. And I went into the little town where I live in Zionsville, Indiana, and I looked around, really couldn't find anything, thought about moving a barn. And one day I was really exasperated, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to turn this over to the universe. And as soon as I did that, we got a letter saying that the little Victorian church, which was a 100-year-old Victorian church in the middle of this little historic town, was for sale. I saw the card and kind of rejected it. I thought, you know, that's going to be too much money, it's going to be too much work, whatever.
Sure.
And 2 weeks later, another little message came with a picture of the church on the outside, and they actually had my name on the outside of it and said, Nancy, I think you need to look at this church.
Oh my.
My secretary said at the time to me, she said, let's go over and look at this. Well, as soon as I walked in, I knew. It wasn't very attractive when I got it, but it was a very sound building and a beautiful building, and we raised the ceilings, and we put in 2 fireplaces and a catwalk, and now we have a restaurant and a French chef. And on an average day, we'll have anywhere between 100 and 200 people come through, and I would say that more than 75% of the people who come there are from out of state and certainly from out of town.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are on the internet right now, you can take a look at the sanctuary by going to Nancy's website, which is www.nanoel.com. And it's not a small place at all, 10,000 square feet.
And when people come in the front door, it is not unlikely that people will begin to cry when they come in there. And we have little tissue boxes around and down in the gift shop and so forth. And we all find that, people are emotionally taken with the place. So I think that there's a lot of energy there that I actually can't explain. I don't know that it's all my paintings. You know, people say, oh, my God, you know, these paintings, and I can't believe you did them and so on. But there's got to be more going on there than just my paintings. But I've also found that I put so much energy into my work that I think it comes through and is felt on the other side as well. I think it inspires people to be there. But I'm very, very blessed, very, very, very blessed to have found the church and to reach so many people through the church. We have an open house coming up in May that we usually have somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people. We've had as many as 5,000 people show up for an open house, but it doesn't seem to be crowded because they kind of come and go, and some are eating in the restaurant while them. And I'm always there to sign books and prints and so forth for free.
Well, I think the fact that you've got such a blend, I think for anyone who, lest they underestimate the power of art, it really conveys so much that's going on in our past and our present, and as you even said, your own, pulling you towards that future, that it wraps in that spiritual essence of our lives.
You know, if you just get up every day and do the very best you can in the spirit of giving, it comes back to you 100 times.
Isn't that true? Nancy, some of your aha moments then in the course of your career, obviously the experience you had when you took photographs in that hut in Kenya and now are the steward of such a lovely school. But I know also the real kick up that happened when you did that one print of the rocking horse.
Oh, yeah. That was my first print. You know, I went all over New York trying to get somebody to publish me, mm-hmm. and Chicago as well, publish my work. And everybody wanted me to kind of limit what I did. They said to me, you know, if you're going to do still lives, or children, do children, animals, do animals, but, you know, don't be all over the place. Well, I happened to kind of just be all over the place because everything interests me, and I love to try different techniques, and, you know, I love Africa, I love animals, I love children, and they all look a little bit different. You know, people can always say to me, oh, I can always tell a Noel. I think they will look very different. Most people who come into the sanctuary say, you know, gosh, how many artists are in here? And it's only me doing this.
The aspect, though, you know, this idea of you can always tell a Noel, the mere fact how you and I got reconnected was through the Natural Awakenings magazine, the edition that was here in Tucson, and one of your angels holding a dove was on the cover of this magazine, and I had written an article inside. And when I picked up the magazine, of course, your natural tendency is to find the article, make sure it got in it. But then I looked at this and I said, I know this artist.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
And
yeah.
I floated back in, and sure enough, not only did I know you, but indeed I really knew you from the times when I was a child enjoying being taught by you at the time. So these ideas of things circling back to you, but yet the diversity. So what you were saying is that all these people that may have wanted to pick up and publish you, it was under the stipulation they wanted you to refine your collection?
Well, they wanted me to limit what I did so that I would be very recognizable. And I couldn't do that. And then there was a very big publisher who came to me and offered to buy some of my images. And instead of selling him the rights to the images, I went and published them myself. And they were very successful and some of the most successful posters in the industry at the time. We don't do posters anymore. We do limited editions. But and I control my work. I oversee it, everything now. And I keep kind of a tight rein on it because you're not doing anybody a service when you overpublish. So, you know, your things become more valuable for you and your customer if you can kind of limit them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Nancy, also your staff was kind enough to share with me the lengthy list of the philanthropic endeavors you've been part of, and both on the international, regional, and national level. Is there any one of these that kind of strikes you as a real epiphany for you in this career you've enveloped here?
Oh, my God. I started out in child abuse. It was very, very important to me. Mm-hmm. Learned so much there. I think probably my greatest gift has been my school. Done so many things with animal activist groups. But I learned something every single place. And so many people say, thank you so much for giving. That's what I do. That's what I want to do. That's what it's all about. And really, the people who come and ask me for things are the gifts that we get.
Isn't that lovely? Well, I just noticed, you know, the kind of work you've done is everything with now llamas, which you indeed have at your farm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have 15.
15 llamas, my goodness. And that also the Anne's Angel of Hope Fund and grieving children in a monastery mm-hmm. and a women's prison, the whole use of spinning wool.
Yeah. That is, yeah, there's a lot of them.
A lot of
but, you know, I like to do hands-on.
Yes.
You know, I go to the women's prison. I always take my llamas to nursing homes and hospitals and so forth. I want to do that. I could get a volunteer group that will do it for me, but I really want to do it myself. Keeps me very grounded.
That's very good. Well, again, for our listeners, we've been talking with Nancy Noel, who's an artist and philanthropist based in Indiana, and you can see her work and visit the sanctuary both virtually and then hopefully in person if you take a trip to Indiana at www.nanoel.com. Nancy, what do you have on the easel right now today in your studio?
Well, I have a big, big painting called Time. And what I can do, I can send a little snapshot of me in front of that painting if you would like. It's very hard to describe. It has an angel in it, has a skeleton in it, and it has a dove. And it's kind of indicates that we struggle all the time with time.
Isn't that the truth? And that the different places and that a painting such as this, how long will this take you from start to finish?
You know, it varies. Some of my big paintings don't take long at all. And when I say don't take long at all, they might take 6-8 hours. Some of them take 2 or 3 months and maybe more. Sometimes it has to do with technique and drawing time. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with size. It also depends on how inspired and how I understand what direction I'm going. Because if you see it very clearly, it usually comes off very quickly. And usually the paintings that are finished rapidly are the ones that seem to be the best. They have the most finesse, the most spontaneity, and the most emotion.
And for you, is there a certain time of day that that your brush moves at its best, or certain days of the week,
you know,
or time of year?
I am one that is it's kind of a free spirit. When it calls that I need to go up to my studio and paint, I do. It could be in the middle of the night. It could be early in the morning. I was in my studio this morning at a little after 7, and I could get up in the middle of the night and walk down there at 3 a.m. if I'm really inspired and I want to work on something. The longest I've painted is 18 hours without stopping.
Oh, my.
But I need, you know, anytime you go to your studio, it's like composing music. So it's to be up there for 3 to 5 hours is considered a pretty short amount of time. I definitely get into the zone. I get into, seem to block out everything. I turn my music on, and time goes by very quickly.
Isn't
it's like meditating.
That's wonderful, and no doubt about it, as you even referenced that one big painting you're working on called Time. Well, Nancy, remind us again, you said you have an open house coming up soon at the sanctuary. What is
the
date on that?
We have an open house coming. I believe it's the first week in May. It's usually the weekend before Mother's Day, trying to make it convenient for people who are buying gifts for Mother's Day.
That's a good
time. Because I personalize and sign during these times.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Nancy Noel, who's an artist from Indiana, and her lovely sanctuary and her worldly endeavors, philanthropic, as well as her contributions to arts. Thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thank you, Zara.
You bet. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.